First, let's acknowledge the reports. Matt Norlander, Pete Thamel, Jeff Goodman, they all had the report about Kentucky zeroing in on Mark Pope. I said this earlier in the week on Cougar Tracks, on the podcast, that Mark Pope is a much more viable candidate than you would think for Kentucky. The issue that Kentucky had in all of this was that when you replace John Calipari, you think you're going to hire a big name to counter a guy that had 15 years, four Final Fours, and a national championship. You're going to replace him with a big name. The thing is, Mark Pope's not a big name nationally, but he's got big-time head coaching ability. And I covered Mark Pope every step of the way during his time at BYU, from the opening press conference in 2019 to his reportedly final game against Duquesne in the NCAA tournament in Omaha. And all along when I was covering Mark Pope was that you felt like this guy had the potential to be a top 10 coach in college basketball. And it's a difficult thing for BYU because, you know, it speaks to, he did a very good job at BYU. The coaching job he did this past year was impressive. Got BYU to fifth place in the Big 12 Conference and got him back to the NCAA tournament. But for him to get the Kentucky job, it is surprising, though, in some capacity, because you would have thought that Scott Drew, you would have thought maybe Billy Donovan, someone would have taken that job before Mark Pope. But if you want a clean record guy, if you want someone that doesn't have a checkered past like some of the other candidates in that tier two, Mark Pope is the guy. And then you also pair it up with the fact that, you know, Calipari, NBA draft was his big night. He didn't care about being a Kentucky guy. Mark Pope does, and that was his dream job, and he's going to reportedly get that job. Now, where does BYU go from here? I think that's where what Cougar fans care about the most. Mark Pope has done an excellent job at BYU. And as the questions keep rolling in here on Instagram, who will replace Mark Pope? So it's interesting with BYU. They've made it clear in the past that it's not required to be LDS to be a head coach at BYU. But for the football and men's basketball programs and women's basketball, they tend to prefer having an LDS coach that understands the values, the priority on athletes are going to go serve missions for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and also the culture of maybe you're going to have married athletes. It's not common in other college places, so there's a tendency to want to have the head coach be LDS. It's not required. They've made that clear in the past, but they're always going to lean that direction. To me, I think the number one call you do make is Mark Madsen, Cal head coach, formerly at UVU, a former Stanford Cardinal. Now, Mark Madsen's LDS. He has no connections to BYU. Whenever you're looking at BYU head coach positions, and I've talked about this before, I think you got to have BYU experience. It helps the cause to step into a job and have success early on. When you don't have BYU experience, maybe you can have some success, but you will learn. You will have a steep learning curve. Kalani's learned that. Gary Croton back in the day learned that. Steve Cleveland learned that back in the day. Coaches that don't have BYU experience tend to have early struggles in their tenure. Still, Mark Madsen is a head coach. He's in the ACC now at Cal. He did a pretty good job at Cal, and he took UVU to even greater heights than Mark Pope did when Mark Pope was at UVU. Got him to that NIT semifinals a couple years back with Aziz Bandango and that crew. Mark Madsen, though, did sign a contract extension after this season with Cal. Goes to 2030. And BYU, not known for its buyout game. BYU tend to be a little bit frugal. Are they willing to be aggressive to go buy someone out and get them to BYU? Mark Madsen's, again, got no ties to BYU. He's a Bay Area guy. He's in his home area, but he's at the rival school of his alma mater. But Mark Madsen, I think you got to call him. Other candidates, to me, as you kind of look at a potential big board for BYU. Chris Burgess, former BYU basketball assistant, coached under Mark Pope, coached at BYU for three seasons. Currently the Utah basketball assistant coach. Burgess has got a lot of upside. No head coaching experience, understands BYU, was once upon a time a number one recruit. Turned down BYU, went to Duke, all that whole song and dance. We all know that. Burgess got a lot of upside, a lot of potential. I think he could be a big-time recruiter, and he kind of operates in that space, kind of in the same mindset as a Mark Pope, where he wants to shoot big and dream big. That's the thing about Mark Pope that I don't think many people understand. You know, BYU tend to always be, hey, enjoy those 20 wins. Enjoy just the process of being a 20-win team. That's okay. Like, Mark Pope stepped into BYU and said, we're going to dream big and go shoot for a Final Four. Did they ever reach that? No, they didn't even win an NCAA tournament game. But I think that mindset of trying to operate like a big-time college basketball program is important. And BYU, say what you will, it's a big-time job now. You're in the Big 12 Conference. BYU's got a history of winning success. You almost wonder if it is the time to kind of open up the door a little bit and open this pool up, because it is light. If you're just zeroing in on LDS candidates, it's a light pool for BYU. The remarkable thing about BYU and its history, both football, men's basketball, despite its limited coaching pool, they tend to always do a good job when it comes to finding the next head coach. I mean, look at basketball. The line of head coaches in BYU basketball history has been very good. Mark Pope, Dave Rose, Steve Cleveland, Roger Reed. I mean, even go farther back, like, despite the pool, despite the limitations, they always get good coaches. So keep that in mind. But it's a higher standard now in the Big 12. And there's no assurances, because the league is going to get better next season by adding Arizona. Now you add your rival Utah. Now you add Colorado, Arizona State. This league's not slowing down. It was the best league in college basketball 9 out of the last 11 seasons. It's only going to get better moving forward. Got in to improve the NCAA tournament appearances, sure, and wins. But it's a great league. And whatever coach steps into this has got its, you know, a tall task in front of them. But going back to the big board. And again, I see all of you joining in. Feel free to share comments. I'm trying to keep tabs on it. Cougars HQ, go get Rick Pitino. I did like that comment from PFT commenter. You know, and keep in mind, too, it was interesting earlier today. So, this morning, Thursday morning, Scott Drew, the reports came out, and he made a statement that he was staying at Baylor. And credit to him for staying at Baylor. How remarkable is it we've gotten to a point in college sports where coaches look at the Kentucky job and go, you know what? Not going to take that job, because Alabama, Baylor coaches, they turned it down. If you have alignment, if you've got the head coach, you've got the AD, you got the school president, and you got the NIL collectives in place to succeed, why leave? Why leave for a place like BBN and Kentucky, there where you're going to deal with the headaches? Now, for Mark Pope, it's a dream job. He's an alum. He's a captain. He's revered at Kentucky. I know the fan base, the social media reaction is hating on him right now, but he'll win them over at the press conference. He will. But it's remarkable to think of how things have evolved, where coaches are like, I don't want to leave to go to that job at Kentucky. I'll just stay at Alabama if I'm Nate Oates. I'll stay at Baylor if I'm Scott Drew. It's just really interesting to me. And then when you get to today, Scott Drew turns down the job. There became some report, some kind of sources tell KSL Sports that it was Mark Pope's cleared out his schedule. And then there became rumblings that, oh, he's in Lexington potentially to interview and get that in-person interview. You're going, this is moving fast. This, and it was funny, too, because earlier in the day, there were reports of, this is Dan Hurley say no day. Make Dan Hurley say no. Like, Mark Pope was farther ahead in this process than anyone imagined. And it shouldn't be too big of a surprise, considering Las Vegas had Mark Pope with the fourth best odds. Never doubt Vegas, I guess. Let's go back to the big board, though. I've said Mark Madsen. I've said Chris Burgess. I also say Cody Feger, too. Cody Feger's not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but he's got institutional knowledge of BYU and how it operates. And he coached with Dave Rose. He coached with Mark Pope. He's a Utah guy, a lot of strong connections, good recruiter. He's been a guy that's worked side by side with Mark Pope. So you'd imagine, does he just want to go to Kentucky with Pope if he's got that opportunity in front of him? I could understand that. But to be a head coach potentially in the Big 12, I think that's worth examining. So I'd put Cody Feger in the mix too. You've got Nick Robinson as well, assistant coach for BYU, previous head coach at Southern Utah back in the day. Barrett Perry. Now, that's a name that Cougar fans might not be as familiar with. Interesting ties to BYU, to BYU administrators. He coaches currently at UNLV as an assistant coach. He was once the Portland State head coach. And Barrett Perry, I think, is very interesting. And he was in the thick of the race when Mark Pope got hired back in 2019. Barrett Perry is a name to keep an eye on. But the thing is that worthy of a Big 12 head coach position? I don't know. Is that big time enough for BYU to just say you're going to level up and continue the level of success? Because you've shown you can win in the Big 12, but with the league getting tougher, you got to level everything up. And you got the NIL collective in place that's willing to play the game and go toe-to-toe with Bill Self, to go toe-to-toe with Scott Drew, to go toe-to-toe with Grant McCaslin, to go toe-to-toe with Jerome Tang. Tommy Lloyd, grab your passport. I mean, this league is so deep. And is that enough? Other names. Casey Beard, Houston assistant coach on the bench of Kelvin Sampson, LDS guy. That's pretty much the extent of it. There's other local coaches that if they're not LDS but have no ties to BYU. I saw Spencer Linton mention this name. It's a good one. Stan Johnson, LMU. He's got a history back at Utah. I believe a Taylorsville native. But to me, you want to go with someone, if they don't have head coaching experience, they've got BYU experience. Because as you all know in this chat, BYU is different. They operate in a different manner than any other place, basically in college sports. Like, not only do you have an AD at BYU, you've got an advancement VP that is above the AD, and there's a lot more red tape. Things move a little bit slower. Even Mark Pope has talked about this in the past. You know, Mark Pope, when he had some frustrations with NIL, you know, acknowledged BYU moves a lot slower than most places. So I feel like it's critical to understand how BYU operates and have that understanding when you step in, like, this is kind of the power brokers of this place, but also inspire them to buy into your vision. Mark Pope had a great ability to get people to buy into his vision. Now, he was aggressive. He was relentless. He talked about that theme all the time. I am relentless. And maybe that could rub people the wrong way, but the guy wanted to win at the highest levels. That's been his motivation the whole time. And he's never minced words about that. And you got to have someone that wants to win at the highest levels in this job. And that's the task in front of Tom Homo. And that's another fascinating topic in and of itself. Tom Homo, let's call it what it is. I mean, he's been around for a long time. He was hired as the AD in 2005. So he's nearing 20 years. You got to think that he's probably nearing retirement. Did he want to have another coaching search on his docket? I would guess no, but it's in front of him now. And he's got to hit this out of the park. And he's got to get it right and be ready to go. And BYU's got to move fast, too. The BYU way of kind of moving slow and coaching searches, that's not going to work. Not in the era of the transfer portal where it's open until May 1st. These players want assurances of who their coach is going to be, or else they're going to go look and see what other opportunities they have in the portal. You got to get this done as soon as possible. So what's your reaction, everyone? Feel free to share your thoughts about Dave Rice. Yeah, he was a former associate head coach. Great offenses for BYU. He's current assistant coach at Cal Baptist, I believe. Let's see, I'm looking here. Josh Clay, 1213, writes, do you think there's a coach BYU could get that might bring a couple players with them? You know, I think that always happens. You know, there's always strong ties with many coaches, but I think the big thing for BYU is retaining this roster. Dallin Hall, Colin Chandler, priorities number one and two to me. Colin Chandler's fascinating because that family was very impressed with Mark Pope in the recruiting process. And Colin Chandler, top 30 recruit in the top in the class of 2022, the number one rated recruit in the internet era for BYU basketball. Now, there's been higher rated recruits in the past. You go back in the 90s, Sean Bradley, all that. But in the internet era, Colin Chandler's the highest rated. And that's why, again, you know, Colin Chandler's going to return home from his mission for the church next month. Got to get it in place. You got to get it right. You got to get that squared away with this head coach deal to where he's not thinking you want to move on. And look, you could understand if he wanted to move on. You could understand any of these guys wanting to move on. You only have one opportunity to play college basketball. Many of these guys, they want to play for a certain coach. But what is different about BYU in some ways is that there are guys on this roster that do want to be at BYU. And not all of them. I mean, you look at the roster, Noah Waterman, does he want to be a BYU guy? No, he wants to play for Mark Pope. What does he do next? We'll see. You know, Fusini Traore, he's interesting. I think if he wanted to go in the portal, he'd have a lot of options. But I think he likes BYU. I think he likes being in this environment. But retaining this roster, Dallin Hall, to me, has got to be a huge priority. That's a guy that could easily go in the portal anytime. I mean, Dallin Hall, and he'd go into the portal, he'd have huge offers waiting for him. So they got to act. They got to act quick. You know, what happens with Isaac Davis, who signed with BYU last November? What happens with Brooks Barr, who just signed last November, is planning to go on a mission coming up after his senior year? So coaching changes always bring attrition. And the sooner the better that you can get it locked down. You can't wait anymore in this era of coaching searches. This is the first power conference era head coaching hire for BYU. And then that sentiment alone makes this such a fascinating search, because the BYU way of old in the WCC, in the Mountain West, in the WAC, you know, it would be maybe take your time and, you know, kind of go from within or whatever you want to do. How aggressive are they going to be? How what's the different outlook? How much more money are they willing to throw down on this type of job? Because, again, BYU basketball is a good job, strong history, great fan support, and you're in the Big 12. It's a great job, and you can win at BYU. But what type of candidate pool can they get? The names I listed are okay. I think it's solid. But is it the home runs that make you feel like BYU is going to go above the fifth spot? I will see. I think Chris Burgess would be really good. I think Cody Feger would be outstanding. I think Mark Madsen would be good too. It just in a weird way, though, I kind of get a little more leery of Madsen because he doesn't have any BYU experience. And I think that's just important. But he does have head coaching experience, and that's valuable. I mean, he's turned around two programs that really just have never done anything and done great things with both those programs. Papa Crowder, Burgess should be number one choice. Cougars HQ, I think Jimmer would be good too. Oh, come on. Come on, Cougars HQ. T-Smart 7, Pope is going to take all these guys with him? He could, yeah. I mean, but at the same time, is Kentucky's a different barometer. You know, does Foos work at Kentucky? I'm not saying Foos isn't worthy of Kentucky. Like, he's a dang good player, but it's a different level. Like, Pope can go into different tier, a different bracket of recruits, of transfer prospects. Kentucky sells itself. It's no longer this grind where you're waiting until June to go get a guy and get your final piece of your roster. Remember last year, BYU didn't fill its last scholarship, okay? Because one, it's very difficult in the NIL era to get guys in basketball. Football's different. Basketball, you got to have the bag. You got to have that bag. And look, you got to get guys to understand what BYU has to offer, the whole picture. But Kentucky sells itself. And Pope, remember, he got Matt Harms, beat out Kentucky the one time he went head-to-head with Kentucky for a recruit. He got Matt Harms. he will be able to recruit at the highest levels. So it's not a foregone conclusion he's going to bring everyone with him. This isn't like a Bronco to Virginia deal where the whole deal goes east. I don't buy into that for a sec. Now, he's going to want his guys that he wants, but that's why BYU's got to get some answers here soon. I don't know if he'll be one and done, guys, Papa Crowder. I think because that was what made BBN get fed up with Calipari. They were sick and tired of one and dones. They wanted some transfer portal. You got to get older in college basketball. You can't just win with one and dones. Baylor's going to have a bunch of, you know, potential one and dones coming up with Vijay Edgecombe coming in, five-star recruit. I don't think Baylor's going to be just the odds-on favorite to win the Big 12 next year. You got to be older in college basketball. T-Smart 7, I mean to say he's going to take all these coaches with him and some players. Yeah, I mean, it's fair. There's going to be some. I mean, if I'm Jackson Robinson, I'm probably going to Kentucky now. I'm taking that as a serious option because you could probably get a bag, extend your college career, get another crack at the SEC if you're Jax. But unless he gets a confident, you know, assurance like, hey, you're going to be top 40 pick in the NBA draft, you got to take that, in my opinion. But, hey, maybe Kentucky can give him an NIL deal that wants him to stay. Interesting times, though, for BYU. And I think it's going to be – it's exciting times, though, at the same time. Because you do wonder, you know, what was so interesting, too, about this job with Kentucky. Like, Mark Pope has been a potential candidate for USC, for Washington, for Louisville, in this coaching carousel. And – but this job was the one where it's like, what can BYU say? If he gets offered that job, it's Kentucky. Like, everyone understands that, you know, and I don't blame Mark Pope one bit. And I think Mark Pope, what's difficult, though, about the loss for BYU's sake is that I thought Mark Pope did have the potential to be maybe the best coach in BYU basketball history. I know that's a take, and Dave Rose is all-time, Stan Watts. I think very highly of Mark Pope, and Kentucky's getting a dang good coach. They are. He is a heck of a coach. You look at next year's roster. Okay, this is the personnel for next season I've got laid out here. You got Noah Waterman. I'm going by class here. Let's start off. Jackson Robinson, if he wanted to come back. Noah Waterman, Trevin Nell, Ali Khalifa, Trey Stewart, Atiki Ali Atiki, Fusini Traore. That's your seniors. I mean, first glance, I would guess Trevin Nell would probably stay, I would think. And Trevin had his struggles last season in the NCAA tournament. It's well documented. I mean, that got tough. Khalifa, you know, he had some reservations about coming to BYU in the first place. He considered Florida. He was heavily involved with that recruitment with Florida. I would think how much Pope loves Khalifa, that screams to me, you'd go with Pope if given the opportunity. Atiki's interesting because Atiki, he didn't really take that step forward, but at the same time, he didn't get much of an opportunity to take a step forward in the Big 12. Would he stay back with a new coach? Say if you got Chris Burgess, who really believed in Atiki, there'd be some value there. And I think that's one thing that would help the cause for Chris Burgess. Maybe you can maintain some of the upperclassmen. Maybe you can make a case to Colin Chandler to come to BYU still. Chris Burgess was involved in that recruitment. Foose is interesting to me because on the surface, he just seems like he loves BYU, but he only got 1 year left in college basketball. And he signed with BYU before NIL became a thing. He signed in that November 2020, 2021 cycle, but before NIL was a deal. Do you think if he's in his thought, do you want to go chase a bag? We'll see. Dawson Baker comes back from an injury. That foot injury is going to be kind of fascinating to see and what he does. Mark Pope loves Dawson Baker. I remember at Big 12 Media Day last October, Mark Pope was talking to me about Baker and thought he's going to be incredible. And then watching him in training camp, he was, I thought, one of the best players on the court. And never materialized, obviously, because of the foot injury, but He's got 2 years of eligibility remaining. Richie Saunders, Dallin Hall, Colin Chandler, Isaac Davis. Then you got some walk-ons as well. Be interesting times for BYU. We will have you covered, though, on KSL Sports. I can tell you that much. The KSL Sports Zone, I'll be hosting JJ and Alex tomorrow with Jeremiah Jensen from 3 to 7. So stay tuned to that. There will be so much to cover. Probably going to pull an all-nighter. Maybe I'll get some sleep. I mean, I think someone said, hey, this could be kind of a slow offseason. I was like, not so sure about that. I was talking to someone with BYU in March at the Big 12 tournament. I was like, you know, this BYU team could be better next year. I said, if they get Mark Pope back, if they get some of these players back. And, you know, Mark Pope was definitely shopping around, and he gets his dream job with the Kentucky Wildcats. Again, we'll have more up on KSLSports.com. I'll have this audio, if you missed any part of this, on the Cougar Tracks podcast feed. So go subscribe to the show. Check that out. Appreciate all of you interacting. Kentucky fans don't know what they're getting in Pope. I agree, Cougars HQ. I think Pope's a heck of a guy. This Mark Pope! He gave some great gems, too. Like, he gave me a soundbite. Let's see. Where is it here? Do I got it?
Mitch Harper.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Instagram Live. Appreciate all of you. Hey, Cosmo for the job. You can dance. You can do anything, right? All right. Check out this audio on Cougar Tracks podcast feed and check out all the coverage up on KSLSports.com. Talk to you later.